Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Thursday.
Wow, this week is just flying by.
You know what they say, time flies when you're with the ones you love.
It's so true, and as much as I'm glad that it's Thursday, it just doesn't feel that joyful as a Thursday usually does because our week is winding down.
Our week is winding down. I am here next week, but yeah. I will be leaving next week. This is the week that, like, I'm here.
Yeah, this was the week.
Yeah.
Next week is the leaving week.
Right, right.
Unclear when, but she will be leaving.
I am leaving, which is so devastating, but we have so much fun to have before
Yeah,
that.
I didn't want to start on a negative. I'm just like, wow, usually on a Thursday, could we be more joyous? Friday Eve, Erev Friday.
It's true.
But today, maybe today's a somber day for a number of reasons.
So let's dive into, we have a lot to talk about. The first, you know, being the most important, I am wearing jeans, which we're going to get into later in the show. But really what we need to talk about is we kind of went through as a family, like something somewhat traumatic last night. You might have noticed we weren't very active on socials. Like we were dealing with a crisis, a medical emergency.
Yeah. So we went to dinner at Trout's last night, our favorite restaurant down here.
She put together such a fabulous Valentine's Day dinner. We each had little chocolates. Like we were just, while this crisis was going on at your house, like we were unknowingly just like, we were just so happy, you know?
Yeah, we were just enjoying ourselves, hanging in no rush.
She made such a good dinner.
We finally came home. Bruno greets us at the door.
Totally normal.
Yeah, he was waiting by the door as he always does. And then as everyone started to carry on with their evening, we noticed that there were many, many chocolate candy bar wrappers.
Not just chocolate. Dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate, zero sugar candy bar wrappers on the floor.
We counted about 21 wrappers. And
he got into like a bulk bag of these miniature candy. So each one is like the teeny tiny ones.
The ones you get on like Halloween.
Yeah. Well, some people give out big candy.
Oh, no. I mean, fun size.
Fun size. So there was over 20 wrappers.
And as a dog parent, dark chocolate is kind of, if you don't have a dog, like that's like the most toxic. It's the worst thing a dog can
eat. Yeah, everyone knows dogs can have chocolate. Dark chocolate is worse than milk chocolate because it is more cacao. Of a pure chocolate because it's the cacao that is harmful for the dogs because of the caffeine. So we count the wrappers, see how much Bruno has eaten. So Zach immediately took him to the emergency room. We're all like working the phones, trying to find a doctor to talk to just like get information on, you know, we're adding up the amount of ounces per Bruno's weight, while Zach's also doing the same thing like at the doctor.
We just wanted answers.
Yeah, we were just on a fact-finding journey and we were like, didn't know how to just sit by and wait. So Zach took him to the pet hospital and he had induced vomiting. They induced him so that he would vomit up a lot of what he ate.
Got his stomach pumped like a teenager.
Yeah, I guess that's stomach pump.
Yeah, no, they categorized it as an overdose.
Yeah, it was a slightly toxic overdose. The amount that he ate was like in the slightly toxic category. So it is good that they induced vomiting, wherein they found more wrappers.
15 more wrappers.
15 more wrappers, a pound and a half of chocolate.
Which they assume is only about 60%. They couldn't get all of it.
Yeah.
They predicted it was about 60% of the chocolate. So 60% equaling 1.5. What's the total? Almost 3 pounds.
Almost 3 pounds of chocolate.
And would you ever know, take a look at this boy loving on his mommy's lap. So spirit never broken.
So they stayed at the hospital until the ASPCA phone line like deemed them safe to go home. Bruno came home because he needed a mother's love. It was hard for him to be going through all of this. And of course, Zach was amazing and
Right to the rescue.
But like he needed to come home, cuddle up with mommy, heating pad, skin to skin.
Of course.
That's what he got all night last night. Honestly, he slept amazing.
I'm not gonna lie, like it was really freaky, especially because like I have heard horror stories. Like the amazing thing is that it was like Hershey's, and one thing about Hershey's, like it ain't real chocolate, like it ain't real cacao.
It's a pure chocolate.
But I have heard of, you know, dogs literally taking a bite of pure cacao and dropping dead. So the fact that we had gotten home and he obviously had laid on the couch after his big meal, he was still alive, like that was promising, but it is like really and truly the worst thing a dog could eat.
Yeah.
We are so blessed.
So blessed. And he seems to be recovering nicely this morning. He obviously needs more of his mommy. And he has come out of retirement. Like, he wants to do the show now.
Yeah, yeah.
And he added so much to yesterday's episode, visually, emotionally.
Spiritually.
I feel like I do a better job when I have my muffin here.
Yeah.
So.
I remember that.
Oh, you want your pillow yet?
No. That pillow, like, seriously makes me want to kill myself. Like, something about the way Theo's looking, it just reminds me of his suffering. I can't explain it.
Oh, goodness me. Okay. Yeah. No pillow. Maybe, do you want a little Streisand in your life?
No, he looks happy and he's recovering. And let him.
He's recovering with his mommy. So that's kind of what we were going through last night. Really, really crazy times, but you
know.
It
was nuts.
And they said like the night between like 4 and 8 hours after he got home was when we really had to monitor him.
Oh, so we're in the clear.
And so we're in the clear past that. I think everything is going.
How were his bowel movements this morning?
I need to check in with Zach, but I know for a fact that if they were bad, he would have told me. So yeah. No news is good news.
Yep.
Bruno just needs mother's love by mother's side.
Oh my goodness. What a whirlwind.
What a whirlwind, Bruno.
We are so glad. I was having like, not to make everything about me, like a little PTSD. Like,
oh, were you?
Just like dog hospitals, like have become like really triggering for me. So, so glad Bruno's okay. Like imagine if we lost both boys in the span of a month. Like
that would be crazy.
It would be crazy. But Bruno has a lot more living to do.
Yeah, he's a fighter.
Honestly, he came home, he waltzed through the door. I thought he was gonna be like medicated. Zach would be, he'd be like, you know, tongue hanging out. Ran through the door.
Oh, tail wagging. He was really happy when he came home. Like, honestly, you wouldn't really know it.
You wouldn't know it.
He's a survivor.
Bruno will survive. Bruno has survived. And Bruno will continue to thrive.
Yeah. So we're proud of you, Brew.
Crisis averted. You know, let this be a lesson to all of our listeners. You have dark chocolate in the home, put it on a higher shelf.
Yeah. No, it was honestly amateur. Like, just shit. Like, listen, not good.
Sometimes these are certain lessons you have to learn the hard way.
Yeah, it's true. So,
and I forget, like, Bruno really has such human like tendencies. He got into my fruit bowl the other day.
He gets into everything.
I forgot that because he's really such a good boy.
Mischievous.
Theo used to be mischievous, but we would know. Like, he was so obvious about it. Bruno's, like, low-key subtle. I forgot that he's, like, a dog who, like, is going to eat my food.
He and this week in particular, he's been getting, maybe because I have more people here, but he was even doing it before you guys got here. Like, he's just been getting into stuff. I can count, like, three other things that he ate, like the melons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's nuts.
Yeah. He's mischievous. We call him Brudini.
So maybe, you know, Bruno also learned a lesson. Don't stick your nose where it doesn't belong. I think if Bruno could talk, he would say, and I'd do it again.
Yeah. He said, I slayed you once and I'd slay you again.
Slay.
Slay.
So before that traumatic evening, we had such a fabulous day yesterday we vlogged for the entire Patreon community.
We just like did our day yesterday. We did a couple of things.
Things we did. The damn thing.
Things we did. That.
We ran a 5K.
You did.
I did. And I don't really want to spoil the vlog, but I'm going to. Jackie inspired me. She was like, listen, you have to see where you're at. You've never ran 3.1 miles. Like, what are we working with? And I was like, you know what? You're right. And I'm not going to lie. Like, you telling me your time being 42 minutes, I knew that was like, I couldn't be so far away from that. Like, I knew that that was like a normal time. Because if I didn't have that number, maybe I would have just like walked and done it in 2 hours, you know?
Yeah.
But I did it in 43 minutes. So I'm only 1 minute behind Jax. Now, having said that, it was like one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I thought I was going to collapse. And so
you don't want to be that way when you're rubbing elbows with some of podcasting's elite.
With Tom and Bert.
Right.
Bert and Tom. So I know I'm capable of it, but it was so challenging for me. Like I need to train.
Okay. Yeah, now but we I tighten it up. We clean it up.
We clean it up. So that's in the vlog. We went to the mall. I bought jeans. Something I've been wanting to do for a very long time is like buy jeans in person. And so many people recommended Abercrombie, and Jackie knew a mall nearby that had an Abercrombie. So we spent the day at the mall. We were poisoned in the morning. We were poisoned in the evening.
Yeah. And then Bruno was poisoned.
Oh my God. We said on the vlog that the theme of the vlog was poison.
And Bruno took it too literally. He took it too literally.
So that vlog, I finished editing this morning. It will be up today. So you have that to look forward to. Love Florida family content.
Yeah. I think we have some more Florida family content coming in at us. You this week. Yeah, in us for sure.
It's giving mukbang.
It's giving mukbang. Southern edition.
Southern edition. And
because we have to go to like Florida specific chains.
Checkers. When you think of Florida specific chains, what do you think of?
Miami Subs.
Oh, that's a good one. I happen to love their French fries. I feel like it's not Miami specific, but I only see them in Florida. Like it's Checkers.
That's because they have outdoor dining and you can't do that everywhere year round.
Kind of sounds amazing.
Alfresco dining.
I think we should do an alfresco vlog at Checkers. Like we'll get out of the car.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's cute.
And then we'll hit, of course, you know, the usual spots.
Of course. And the drive-thru. I've not driven through a drive-thru before.
It's low-key hard.
I'm a little nervous.
It's really actually, and I'm a pretty experienced driver, and I never pull up to the window the right amount. I'm so far away because I'm so afraid of even touching the building. It's an art.
Yeah, that's the part of driving right now that I'm like mastering, which is just like
knowing your size.
Knowing my size, like navigating through like the nooks and crannies of the parking lots and this and that. So I think the drive-through will be a good challenge for me and kind of where I'm at in my education.
So I again don't want to spoil the vlog, but I was a passenger in Jackie's vehicle yesterday.
I drove.
And I have to say, I mean, look at me. Not a scratch. You crushed it.
Not a scratch.
You really crushed it. And the car, not a scratch. There was a scratch, but that's from a prior incident.
We'll talk about it in the vlog.
Yeah, yeah. So let's stop like spoiling the vlog. It's annoying.
Yeah, but it's a really great vlog.
It's a really great vlog.
Yeah.
We have a great show. Mm-hmm. It's Thursday, which means absolutely nothing, which just means like we can relax. Like we don't have, you know, a litany of things to do, segments, schmegments. Like we can just kind of relax and be ourselves.
And if we could like decenter ourselves for a second.
Why would we do that?
For our listeners, like it's Thursday for them. Yeah. And even though we're having a particularly joyful week, like they could have been having a treacherous one, they've made it to Thursday.
Well, that upsets me to hear. Someone having a bad week?
Someone out there is having a bad week, Turdy.
No, it's so true. It happens to the best of us on whatever scale, you know?
But no matter how your week is going, like you've made it to Thursday and for that, I'm happy for you.
And if you're having a bad week, let Turdy give you like a little bit of inspiration.
A motivational speech from La Turdia?
Listen, there's nothing you can't overcome. Like, we all made it through the pandemic. Like, girl, whatever's going on this week, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's in your mind. You're imagining it. You're crazy.
It'll soon be a distant memory. This too shall pass. That's my favorite advice to give people.
It'll soon be a distant memory. I feel like when you're going through something really challenging, like somebody telling you that, it's like, seriously, shut the fuck up and eat my ass. But then you find yourself like months, weeks, however many, you know, much time passes later, and you're like, wow, like it really was just a moment in time. And I'm in a, like, I got through it.
A better way to say it, this too shall pass.
Yes, yes.
I think that's comforting words.
But, and you think-
Not like, annoying words.
And when you're in something bad, you're like, well, no, everything passes, but not this. Like, this one's really bad. It's not.
That's not how, when I think of this too shall pass, I'm like, yes, but I just have to get there. And it's like the getting there that's hard. But just know that you will be there. Take solace in the fact that you will get there.
Right, like nothing in life is guaranteed except like the movement of time. And so you will get there.
The passage of time.
The passage of time. That's much like more smart.
Thank you. More smarter. Mm-hmm. Also, we had big plans last night, like Valentine's Day. Yeah. We were going to watch Vanderpump Rules all together. And then, of course, Bruno did.
We're going to make a fire.
We were going to make a fire.
I don't think we were ever actually going to make a fire. Like, the boys were like, should we make a fire? And we're like, honestly, no.
Yeah, we said, you guys can make a fire.
Don't make it for us.
We said, don't expect us to come out, but we might drop by. Mm-hmm. That's literally what we said. But then
Bruno went and, you know, spoiled it all by saying something stupid like dark chocolate.
Yeah. So no fire, no romantic Valentine's for us.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
That's okay. Bruno's health is paramount and...
Yeah, the love was that Bruno came home and got to sleep at home.
Yes, of course. You know, I did kind of want him to spend the night at the facility. It's always, like, obviously you want your angel home, but it's always better that he'd be under medical supervision. But they said he was fine, and you know what? They were right.
But sometimes, like, TLC, Mother's Love Heating Pad, is the best medicine. Other times, no.
And I feel like this would be another time when they really need to monitor his stomach.
When he needed real medicine?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you need mother's love.
Oh my God. So, you know,
there's nothing mother's love can't cure.
I was sick a couple of weeks ago. You know that. And Ben is very into like Eastern medicine and moronic things of that nature. And he was like giving me turmeric and all these like weird herbs. And I was just like taking them in addition to like NyQuil and stuff. And after like a couple of days, I finally went to the doctor and I'm like, okay, let me just like, you know, go to the professionals. And Ben did come with me. And he prescribed me, of course, you know, my amoxicillin and my prednisone. I'm feeling so much better, by the way. Thanks for asking. And Ben had the absolute gall to like bring up his herbs to the doctor. And I was, first of all, mortified beyond words. And second of all, like low-key curious, like what this doctor was going to say. Because like Ben was giving me turmeric, which is like good for, you know, it's an anti-inflammatory, and my sinuses were inflamed. I had sinusitis. So I was like waiting to see what the doctor was going to say. Like he could not have rolled his eyes more further back into the back of his head. I was like, okay, honestly, thank you. Like, I don't know what, I let Ben get to me. I'm like, what am I taking turmeric for?
But what's the downside?
Also a good question. I don't know. I'm feeling like a little jittery. Like my coffee's starting to like kick in. Like I'm shaking my shoulders.
Yeah, and like, just let me know the downside. But
right, right. I thought, imagine like, going to a doctor and be like, well, I read on, you know,
yeah,
that turmeric is a great anti-inflammatory.
That's, but aside from like Eastern herbs and whatnot, that's always the thing, right? Like you go to the doctor and you're
and like I Googled it.
Yeah. And I have my own information. Yeah. You just keep that shit to yourself. Just nod and say, thank you so much.
Of course. I would never, ever bring up like my research to the doctor.
No, you can't.
It's, first of all, it's so disrespectful.
It is. It is.
This person went to school for 8 years.
But I also think you should do your own research. Like, I'm big on that.
Of course. Yes. I'm advocating.
I'm also big on like Hannah Montana, Miley stewarding it and being like one way with the doctor and one way at home.
Oh, I feel that way too. Yeah. Like, especially like if you like what I'll do, which is like not the best.
Just smile like, and nod.
Like when I go to Mexico and stuff, like I get prednisone. Like I'll like prescribe myself amoxicillin and prednisone from like, and I'll get it in really kind of shady ways. And then I won't tell the doctor that I did that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Which is also not good.
Yeah. Smile and nod. That's like when we were talking about like the pediatrician and the co-sleeping.
Right,
like,
right, right. Yeah, smile and nod.
Safe sleep, baby on back.
Right.
I got it. Right. I got it, doc.
Yeah, no, you need to have like a front stage and a backstage personality when it comes to the doctors.
Yeah, I think, and all doctors, you know, clearly Ben has his own things that he needs to conceal.
But Ben was just being himself.
That's a crazy thing to do.
Which I just thought was interesting.
When I see people do that, I'm like, oh, you're crazy.
Oh, so you're confident.
No, so you're confident in your craziness. But I do think it's important to be a little crazy and like it's your body. Like if you're not doing your own research, like what are you doing?
I guess it's like so true.
You know?
Maybe it's not crazy, you know?
I mean, like not everything is one size fits all the time. Not every medication. Like, so yeah, you need to do your own research, but then also don't pretend to like know more than the doctor. They don't like that.
Yeah, no, it is rude.
Yeah, and they don't like it. And you don't want to piss off the doctor.
No.
Frightening.
So we've got a great show today. We've got stories that are what?
Solid as a rock.
Oh, I love that. So do you feel comfortable at this current juncture?
Thank you for caring about my comfort. And I do feel extremely comfortable.
Okay, you sound like a distressed millennial. Yeah, like on a college campus.
This is a safe space for us to enter into the Fast Five stories.
Oh my God, okay. Thank heavens for that.
Yeah. So without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
Jax, do you have something you'd like to share with the class?
I do, Claudia, and I'm so glad that you're giving me the space to do that. I feel very comfortable to let you know that today's episode is also brought to you by Teeny Lux. I was speaking recently on the pod about not wearing earrings because I hate how aware I am when they're on. I just feel them. And the founder of Teeny Lux is a toaster. So she reached out saying, can I send you some earrings? I promise these will be the most comfortable earrings you've ever tried. You won't even notice them.
She didn't lie.
For the first time ever, I honestly forgot I was wearing earrings. I don't even feel them. Their founder started this brand because she also had super sensitive ears and nothing was working for her. They make all of their earrings with pure titanium. They use titanium because it's non-allergic metal that's safe for the body and super lightweight. If you've ever had problems wearing earrings, you need to try these. I've always had problems wearing earrings and I'm not even like the most sensitive swirly, but the ears are a sensitive place. So you need the best in the biz, and the Teeny Lux earrings are so cute. Also, like the ones that I got, they're perfect for me. I like a little like subtle earring, but they have all different types of earrings. So visit teenylux.com and use code TOAST at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's teenylux spelled TINILUX.com. Use code TOAST for 20% off of your first order.
I feel like this is also a great gift for somebody who either recently just got their ears pierced, or I remember like when I was younger, my earrings used to bother me so much for like a teenager.
Yeah, no, they have kids' earrings too.
Right.
So if your little one has pierced ears and you want to make sure they get the safest earrings, Teeny Lux, they have so many styles. You can shower with them. They won't tarnish or change color. TINILUX.
Got Fabulous, fabulous. And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Hinge, the dating app that's designed to be deleted. Hinge makes the profile creation process less daunting by making it easy to get your friends involved. So with the voice prompt, My Best Friend's Take on Why You Should Date Me, you can lean on your friends to hype you up on potential matches. I love that. I feel like Hinge is always getting really creative with their profiles because profiles can be like really... just like rigid sometimes. And I like that they don't take it so seriously. Like they added that voice memo feature where somebody could like answer with their voice, which I think is cute. Also nice to hear someone's voice before you meet them. It's not always easy to see your own green flags, but what makes you a great person to date, it's easy for a friend to do so on your behalf. So asking your friend to answer this voice prompt for you can be such a great way to bring encouragement and levity to your dating profile. So as you know, we're kind of sitting with a Hinge success story right now. Jackie and her husband met via hybrid. They were like working in the workplace, but they also met on Hinge, and it was just kind of like a perfect like reason to talk to someone.
Yeah, it was the perfect catalyst for us getting to know each other because it was a great way to see like, oh, you're single and you're interested in me because we both wanted to match with one another. So I advocate everyone who's looking for a serious relationship to get on Hinge. I think it is the serious dating app for serious people.
And if I were to do your voice prompt, like, and I would say like, you guys should date Jackie, here's what I would say.
Aww.
She's so gorgeous. Like you wish, get in line. That's what I would say.
You would say get in line?
Yeah. I would.
They're technically like in a queue.
Download Hinge and try the voice prompts today. Then find someone worth deleting the app for. That is the Hinge app, H-I-N-G-E. Today's episode is also brought to you by Skims. So we, you know, wax poetic about the issues with bras. They can be uncomfortable. They can be constricting and we just rip them off when we get home. But Skims has really changed that. You know and love Skims underwear. We recently, not so recently actually, maybe like a year ago, tried their bras and they really have delivered again. Skims bras are truly worth the hype. I bought them before they were a sponsor on TikTok. This girl was raving about it. She had like lost, I think 200 pounds and her boobs were like a little, you know, different. And I resonated with that. I have enormous breasts. And when she showed me how they literally took her boobs from her belly button to her neck, I was shook and I was sold. The t-shirt bra is one of my favorites. I love their bralettes. I think Skims bras really truly speak for themselves. So the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra is probably the bra I wear the most. It's like an everyday bra. It gives really good coverage, really good lift. It's very comfortable. The straps are adjustable. And the material for the Fits Everybody collection is obviously, I think, the best for all day comfort. But also don't sleep on their bralettes. Their bralettes I wear around the house. They give me good support. I can't walk around the house without a bra. So I need something in the middle because I don't want to wear like a full bra. And the bralettes are so comfortable. The best material. I like the racer back one. It gives me a little bit more support. So shop Skims bras at skims.com. What is so fabulous about Skims is they're super size inclusive. So they have 62 sizes. They go from 30A to 46H. Plus you're gonna get free shipping on orders over $75. So if you haven't yet, head to skims.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Toast, in the drop-down menu that follows. That's skims.com, S-K-I-M-S.
Thank you, Claude.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're welcome. Yeah, our first story is very sad news.
Oh, yeah.
The Super Bowl Chiefs win ended in heartbreak yesterday as at least one person was killed and 22 were injured as the Kansas City fans gathered to celebrate the Chiefs Super Bowl win at the parade. There was a shooting. Three persons were detained and are under investigation for the incident. And many are wounded, including many children.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. So horrible. I was like watching the footage come out of the parade before and it was like just those parades are like a real celebration. They said there were like a million people in downtown Kansas City. It's a real celebration of like community and sports and just like your hometown. It's like hometown pride. They're really like these joyous fest celebrations. And so for it to end that way is so horrible. And so I was watching the footage and all the players were like drunk and everybody was like taking pictures and it was just like fun. And for it to end that way, and I saw the footage of a lot of the local people were the ones to take
they
down.
There was this couple. They took down one of the shooters. Like the husband, like tackled him to the ground.
And the woman
moved the gun away.
It was amazing. And it's really just
there should
a terrible,
be a parade for them.
For them, it's such a horrible story. Like just we can't have anything nice.
Yeah, it's so upsetting.
And I saw a picture of these ugly, like really, like disgusting looking person. I only saw a picture of one of them, like really one of the ugliest people inside but also outside that I've ever seen in my life.
They're all ugly. There's pictures of all of them.
Like really just like
there's
ugly
three.
Ugly beasts.
Yeah.
Hate.
So I think the they were still counting like victims. I saw they identified like one of the people who was killed. She was like a local radio DJ.
Oh,
just so horrible.
I saw 10 people were injured.
Now it's up to 22.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And then what was their problem?
What's their motive?
Right. Like, what was the issue?
It hasn't been come out yet.
Like, what could truly, like,
I saw a quote from the police chief that it was like this, it wasn't a targeted shooting, but like, I'm sorry, if three people are acting in coordination, that's a target.
By the way, like, is there such thing as a not targeted shooting?
Right.
Like,
what you bring you, machine gun to a parade,
with kids.
You're not targeting anyone.
No, it's giving bureaucracy, like, please.
Yeah. Also, so a lot of the players and the wives, mm-hmm. everyone's been posting. Travis posted a statement.
I saw on Twitter.
People are upset also with Travis because that night he went out. And he, like, because there's pictures of him posing with a police officer, like, just, you know, taking a selfie. And he's, like, holding a beer and, like, continuing. It's a weird space to be in. Like, how do you continue with the festivities when it's ended in such a terrible manner?
Horrible way. I honestly can't critique anyone. But I can't imagine what it's like for people to show up at a parade for you. Mm-hmm. And then for it to end that way, like, the guilt or I'm not going to critique how anyone responds to it, but it's definitely, like, weird.
I know. I'm not going to critique it either. Also, because in all the parade footage, like, he's so drunk.
Yeah.
And he, like, even though there's a shooting, like, you're still wasted. Like, yeah. It's not, you're not making, like, good decisions. Rational.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a lot to process. I'm sure it's a lot for him to process today. And I'm not going to judge how someone deals with it. Even
Me neither.
Though, you know, it's on its face, it's like partying after what happened. Like, who could?
On its face, it's weird. But again, like, we don't really know what that's like.
Yeah.
And also, like, receiving that news blackout drunk. Yeah. He was wasted.
Can you even receive the news when you're, like, blackout drunk? Yeah.
I don't know. That's like a weird part of the story. Like, I didn't consider, like, what everyone else was doing.
And what they did afterwards.
Right.
Because also the players had to, like, run off stage and hide. I think some of them were, like, hiding in closets.
Oh, my.
And so, like, to do that, and also you're, like, super drunk.
Right.
It's just...
It's weird.
A weird experience, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what I would do in that situation, so I'm certainly not going to, like, reprimand Travis for what he did.
Yeah.
Even though on its face, yes, it's bizarre.
Yeah, so just some sad news to start the day.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Switching gears, shall we?
Yes.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are giving their children the Sussex title as their last name amid their website backlash.
Okay, also...
Have you seen this?
No, but I did, because earlier on the show, we were, like... When we reported on their website, we were asking each other, and we didn't know the answer, like, what are the rules royally? Like, are they allowed to use Duke and Duchess? And somebody explained it. So you read the story, and I'm going to find the explanation.
Okay, so Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have given their children the Sussex title as their last name amid backlash over their new website. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex decided to use their title as their surname for their son, Prince Archie, and daughter, Princess Lilibet, instead of being known as the Mountbatten Windsors in order to unify the family, according to the Times of London. A source told the British newspaper that the kids have been known as the Sussexes since King Charles's coronation in May 2023. The insider noted that the kids taking on the Sussex moniker is no different from Harry being called Captain Wales when he served in the military.
Like, I literally don't get it.
Yeah, because, like, okay. When Harry and William were kids, they were the Waleses, remember?
I thought they were the Windsors. Like, I don't...
No, but when in The Crown, when he's at school, like, someone wrote him a note and it's like, Willie Wales.
Okay.
I don't think it was Willie Wales, but...
I like Willie Wales.
He was called Wales.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So these kids being called Sussex is akin to Harry and William being called Wales. However, Harry's no longer Wales because he's Sussex.
Right. Harry and Meghan, this is somebody explained. Harry and Meghan never gave up their Duke and Duchess title. They are still free to use them. They gave up HRH, her Royal Highness, mm-hmm. which is the highest royal title that can be given by the sovereign. So the Queen gave it to Harry at birth and Meghan on their wedding day, then stripped them of it when they left.
And what about Prince?
So they were previously styled HRH, the Duke and Duchess. And now are just the Duke and Duchess. Harry is still a prince and still keeps his place in the line of succession, which
still
is the fifth.
Still keeps his place in the line of succession.
Diana was also stripped of HRH after divorcing Charles, but kept being the Princess of Wales, not HRH, the Princess of Wales.
Got it.
In addition to giving up the HRH, they also no longer do any work on behalf of the crown, thus giving up being, quote, working royals. They cannot represent the crown at events, and Harry gave up his military titles too, but they are still officially and legally Duke and Duchess. Thank you to Katie Brown for posting that in the Facebook group.
That makes sense that they're Duke and Duchess, because plenty of Dukes and Duchesses aren't, like, related to the crown.
Yeah.
But he can't represent the crown at royal events, but he's still in the line of succession.
Yeah.
That would be representing the crown in a major way.
I think that like they left him in the line of succession because it's so not going to happen ever.
It's just less complicated to leave him.
Right.
Got it.
As it comes to their kids, like, you want to have the same last name as your kids. And so they've obviously branded themselves as the Duchess, the Sussexes. And you want to have the same last name as your kids. And it's clear that, like, with the website, like, they're putting all this information out. There might be backlash. You're doing it all at once. And then we'll move on. And they will be the Sussexes heretofore.
They did need not a rebranding, but a clarification. Clarity of branding. Because there's a lot of names thrown around. Also, there was so much drama with, like, Archie and Lilibet being prince and princess. Mm-hmm. But actually, now they are prince and princess because their grandpa is king. When Elizabeth was queen, they weren't yet. And they always, and then they were sad that he was like going to be the Earl of Dumbarton.
Right.
And it was always like, if you just wait till Charles is king, then they become prince and princess. But I think Harry and Meghan, they say in their documentary, like, why wouldn't Archie be prince? And it's misleading because it's like, he would have been, it's just.
You have to wait.
You have to wait. Yeah. But Prince George and them don't have to wait because they're in the line.
Well, duh, they're not the same.
But when they.
They were mad.
It's like they need a third sibling just to show Harry and Meghan they're not being treated differently because they're them.
So my favorite like rabbit hole to go down, because you know there is a very widespread conspiracy theory that Prince Charles is actually not Harry's father. Diana had like a very well-known affair with this guy named James Hewitt, who's this redhead who looks a lot like Harry. Like there's there. People aren't just like talking for no reason. And if you go down that rabbit hole, like it's really interesting how that affects like Meghan and the kids, because then there really is no relation right now, because Charles like wouldn't be his father.
Yeah.
And like there's really no connection to the royal family.
Yeah.
But that's if the theory is true. Which I'm not saying I believe. I'm just saying you guys should know that it's out there.
Yeah.
What do you think about that theory?
I think that
it is odd there's not another redhead in the entire family. Do you agree with that as a redhead?
No, there's not a redhead in our family.
Our grandfather had red hair.
So they say.
We have a cousin with red hair.
So they say.
No, it's not so they say, like it's factual.
I don't know. I feel like the girls, like growing up, did Eugenie have like a little red?
Let me look it up. Yeah. A young Eugenie.
No, or Beatrice, one of them.
I'll look up young Eugenie and Beatrice. That's like fair.
And
well, oh no, she was related by marriage. Oh, Fergie had red hair. Okay, no, and the kids didn't.
Good call. Okay, so you're saying
actually, no, the girls, the older one, I don't know when this picture is from, but the older one definitely had like a twinge of red, but her mother had red hair.
Okay, so null and void.
Null and void.
No, I need to. It's actually so they're the easiest people to trace their lineage throughout history. Like all the kings and queens, were there any redheads?
Okay, let's say British royals with red hair.
Oh my God, that would be like so crazy. It's like so obvious then.
It's a little known fact that three of Princess Diana's siblings. Okay. That would count.
Okay, so that
Lady Jane, Lady Sarah, and Charles, the ninth Earl of Spencer, have naturally red hair.
Okay, okay. So that covers them.
That covers Harry.
Hmm.
Yeah, and Fergie, which doesn't apply here.
Right. I never thought about that though.
Quora.com, where does Prince Harry get his red hair?
Because I don't even believe the theory because he has red hair, but because he looks like that guy and Diana had an affair with him.
Right, okay.
Like the timing.
So he get, this is from Quora, like this is the most popular answer, and this person obviously did their research. He gets his red hair in the same way that all redheads get it from both sides of the family. Red hair is recessive and can be, quote, covered up by dominant genes while still being passed along. I don't have red hair, but it turns out my grandfather, whom I never met, did, so my son's dad has black hair, as did, okay, we don't care about you.
I will never understand recessive gene. We were just talking about this. I don't understand it now. Like, I know that red hair is a recessive gene that I clearly possess, but I do not understand how it works.
Okay, here's her answer. Diana had strawberry blonde hair when she was much younger. All three of her siblings, which we were just saying, had red hair when younger before it changed, as hair does later in life. Charles had dark auburn hair when young, which you can see in older pictures when he's outdoors. Mary, who's Harry's great-great-grandmother, had red hair and curls like Harry does. Her curls are actually very similar. Beatrice has had red hair, but we know that from Fergie.
Yeah, right.
And since it comes from both sides, that means Andrew carries the genes as well. But the flaw in this statement is she's saying because Beatrice has it, that means Harry has it from mother and father, but Beatrice has it from his mother.
But he has to have it from both sides.
Right.
And Beatrice has to have it from both sides, which means she has it from Andrew's side. So it's there.
Oh.
But that doesn't nullify the theory.
By the way, does Zach have it in his family?
I don't know. Not anyone that I know, but maybe Aunt Mary, like Queen Mary.
Right. Aunt Mary. Yeah.
That is so interesting. So this doesn't nullify the theory, though. It just like explains Harry. It's a counter argument to the theory. But also, the theory could still
be. It's the hair, but also like the face.
And the timing.
Yeah, right. Just something to think about.
I've always taken the theory, like looked at it seriously because of they look alike, not even because of the hair color.
By the way, same. Because if you see a side by side of these two people, now that Harry's all grown, like they look so similar.
But that those things, that could happen, you know?
Yeah, human beings, you know,
like he's just two handsome British men.
But like the coincidence that it would be like a British man that slept with his mother is just a little crazy, no? Just a little.
It's like I can't tell if it's like so obvious or we're being crazy.
Sound off in the comments. Like, do you think James Hewitt is Harry's father? I love a good like paternity conspiracy theory.
And the thing is, whatever the truth is, Charles knows.
Yeah. And maybe that's why he's like okay with like not having a relationship with like this rando. You know?
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Something to think about. Okay, well.
And so when we have these conversations about like the kids, I'm like, these kids ain't even related to Charles. Like, who cares?
So you believe the theory?
No, I don't. No. But sometimes I do think, I'm like, we're going on and on about this. And like, there's a chance these kids like literally are just like commoners.
Right, but if Prince Harry, just not that he would ever like be the king, but he's still in the line of succession, he could be a rando.
Yeah. Even though if they knew that Harry wasn't, when they stripped Harry and Meghan of certain things, they would have taken him out of the line of succession because he is this like mudblood, you know?
They would have stripped him further.
Yeah, they would have like, obviously that would have been a great way to get him out of the line, get this rando out. You know?
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Harry addresses the theory in his memoir, I think.
Oh, you're lying.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Oh, well, that changes everything. Because if that's the case, like you would never, I don't know. I keep saying that.
Prince Harry finally brings silence over the rumor that James Hewitt is his real father.
Wait, that's kind of crazy.
He wrote, the rumor going around at the time that my real father was one of my mother's ex-lovers, Major James Hewitt. One cause of the rumor was Major Hewitt's red hair, but another was sadism.
What's sadism?
Just like people being like...
rude.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. Tabloid readers love the idea that Prince Charles's youngest son was not Prince Charles's son. They never got tired of that joke for some reason.
I can't lie, like I'm one of those people, like I never tire of that.
He wonders whether this rumor was used to paint him as a laughingstock, noting that it didn't seem to matter that his mother hadn't met Major Hewitt until long after he was born.
Oh.
Over the course of his life, the rumors have been rehashed in various forms with some seriousness, he notes. Harry claims that the same...
I feel like he's talking to me.
Harry claims that sections of the media went as far as hunting my DNA to verify it, remarking that he believed after torturing Princess Diana into hiding that soon that they would come for him. Retired British Army Captain Hewitt penned two books about his affair with Diana during her marriage to Charles.
Oh, that's like a thirsty thing to do.
Further attempting to sell the love letters he exchanged with the princess.
I'd buy them.
The pair met at a party in 1986, and Hewitt went on to help Diana overcome her fear of horse riding. What year was Harry born?
When did they meet?
1986. He said in an interview that there really was no possibility that he's Harry's father. Harry was already walking by the time with my relationship with Diana began.
1984, he was born.
Oh, okay. Also, I just want to say I'm looking at a picture of Major James Hewitt, and like he also looks like Charles.
Oh, okay. So the picture that I've seen, like the picture they love to use, that they put side by side.
But like that's how we always do this. If you put a picture side by side with really anyone, like.
No, if you choose the certain photo that they choose, it's this one. Like maybe it's just the side, photo.
Right?
Yeah.
I've seen one like from the side.
Later in life, Oh, this photo. Yes, by the way. It's like whatever photo you end up using, like you can make the case, and that's with anything, like choosing.
That's like when people do with JonBenet all the time.
It's like, it just depends on the photo of JonBenet you choose and the photo of the other person.
And then when you put them side by side, you're like telling the person, hey, these people look alike, right?
Yeah, except the James Hewitt one like really does.
We did one with you and JonBenet.
We did one with Hannah Brown and Whitney Rose's husband.
They look alike.
Or was it just the collage?
Yeah, I think when you, there's also something to be said about putting
there's a psychological things. Element of the collage, the side by side. I agree.
Okay, but has what we just said been enough for you to move on from the rumor?
No.
Because like maybe they reunited in 1986.
No, of course. And by the way, the Royals are notoriously private. Like we don't know who's coming and going. There's, I bet there's proof that like they knew, it's only 2 years. Like,
yeah, they could have reunited like
right, after. Maybe they stayed away from each other because she got pregnant.
Yeah.
Just something to think about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, from here to four, they'll be known as the family Sussex.
They'll be known as the Hewitts.
So that's good to have clarity.
Yes, it is.
Stop. Okay. Our next story is, again, what is in a name?
Ooh, okay.
And it's one of you about your favorite, it's about one of your favorite people to walk this earth.
Who?
Think about like what's in a name.
What does that mean? Like,
name? Someone putting on a name that is not theirs.
Kelly Brianna?
No.
Remember when Kelly Clarkson legally changed her name? That was like the most confusing thing.
Who's one, first of all, it's one of your favorite women, like of our generation, who did something so crazy. She's not a celebrity except for what she did. That was crazy. Okay. And it's a story of what's in a name.
I have literally no idea what you're talking about.
Rachel Dolezal.
Oh, I saw this story. And by the way, I saw a picture of Rachel Dolezal and I believe it was from her, you know, days as a black woman, and like I can't believe anybody believed her. Like she literally looked like she was doing blackface. Like it was so obvious.
The woman formerly known as Rachel Dolezal.
Oh wait, and so are you telling me Rachel Dolezal wasn't even her name?
Was not even her name.
What is her name? I bet it's like Amber.
So right now she goes by Nikichi Diallo.
Okay.
But I also believe that's a changed name.
Right. Sounds like she's like appropriating another culture.
Yeah. I do not know what her original name is. I was trying to find it in the...
In the docs.
In the docs. But there's a, like, she's constantly changing her name.
I'm obsessed with her. And so she's making waves because she was...
So she was working at a school.
That's really like unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And she lost her school job only over her OnlyFans account. Nikichi Diallo, formerly known as Rachel Dolezal. Jackie,
her name is Rachel Dolezal. Like,
okay, cool. She was fired by a Tucson, Arizona school district after administrators learned of her OnlyFans account. They said, quote, we only learned of Miss Nikichi Diallo's OnlyFans social...
Miss Dolezal.
But this is their quote.
Yeah.
OnlyFans social media post yesterday afternoon. Her posts are contrary to our district's use of social media by district employees policy and our staff ethics policy. She is no longer employed by the Catalina Foothills School District. On Tuesday, the embassy affiliate reported that Diallo was an employee of the Catalina Foothills School District and was linked to an OnlyFans account. The outlet noted that explicit images appearing to be Diallo were being shared on Reddit.
Okay, so they probably were shared on Reddit because somebody like discovered this random OnlyFans and was like, wait, I think this is Rachel Dolezal. So like her past is coming to haunt her present. And do you think that the school district knew that this Ichi Diallo woman
was a formerly Mrs.
Rachel Dolezal?
I don't think so.
That's really crazy because she's like, her name is so famous.
Yeah.
Her face isn't.
No, because she was also in like costume.
In costume. That's so true. She was in dressing, right?
If she just changed her makeup and her hair, then she's not Rachel Dolezal anymore.
Right. And is she living life like as a teacher? Was she pretending to be like a black teacher? Or she's over that?
No, I think she's now Mrs. Diallo, a teacher.
And is Diallo a black woman?
Oh, is she doing it again?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, she's still saying, like, no, I wasn't fake. Like, I am black.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, she obviously has, like, a mental illness.
Well, here's the thing. So in November 2015, she admitted that she was biologically born white to white parents, but she identifies as black and said she began identifying as black in 2006.
You weren't to stand in the way of her identity.
And she also published a memoir called In Full Color, Finding My Place in a Black and White World.
Wait, like she's in full color. She's really committed.
She's committed to the bit. And so I don't know that, like, the expose on her would stop her from like being who she thinks she is.
Right, because her explanation is congruous with her expose. She's like, yeah, no, I'm not biologically black, but that you're gonna tell me that I, like, I, how I feel?
How I identify.
That is so interesting.
And so the embarrassment.
You should read her book for the redheads.
I honestly like should read her book because this it's such a crazy story.
I know, but she's like really sticking with it that like I honestly I can't read a book by like a mentally ill person like that. Like it would frustrate me.
It would be frustrating.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like I live in reality where like your DNA like says you're not black. Like that equals you not being black. Like and I probably like I couldn't sit down and read the book of somebody who inherently disagreed with that statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the fact that Rachel Dolezal like was teaching at a school when she's clearly like a crazy person is really, it's actually frightening, like for real, for the kids.
She was an after school instructor.
Oh, okay. But she's still in charge of kids, actually.
She's in charge of children.
That's inappropriate, I think. Like she shouldn't be able to do that. Also, I do often wonder because there are a lot of like famous TikTokers who are teachers. They just like talk about, they like dance, some of them like dance in their classrooms. They never have kids in it. But they're just like, you know, social media stars who are also teachers, which I think is great because you don't make a lot of money as a teacher and like you have supplemental income. But I do wonder like what the school board says about that.
They clearly have policies, by the way.
OnlyFans is not TikTok, by the way.
Right. No, but they have a policy called use of social media by district employees. Mm-hmm. So there are rules in place. And I would imagine that the rules like have to do with the sort of content that's there. Like if it's wholesome.
And of course, like including the kids.
I mean, no.
Can I see that picture of Rachel Dolezal while you're explaining?
But if it's, I'm not explaining because I'm just guessing that like if the content is like congruous with what a teacher should be posting, then you're in the clear because teachers have social media, even if it's a personal private account.
Right.
But if the content is nefarious and inappropriate, then it's giving you a window into the sort of person that's being around the children.
Mentally ill.
Yeah. No, but even if it's just like,
oh, wait, sorry. I was not listening when you were just talking. I was talking about Rachel Dolezal. No,
even just like, say OnlyFans in general. Say the teacher.
Sorry, start the sentence again. I was not listening to anything you just said. I was looking at Rachel
Dolezal.
Thanks
for admitting it, fine.
You know, because then I just said mentally ill and I'm like accusing a teacher of being mentally ill. Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Okay. I think all teachers would have social media in general, even if it's just a private family
account. Yeah, yeah.
So they are allowed to be on social media.
Of course.
I think as long as the content is child friendly and appropriate and things that you wouldn't mind your teacher doing, like it's totally fine. But you could, I think with there's nefarious content, you know, inappropriate, goodbye.
NSFW.
But what if a teacher's on OnlyFans?
That's
NSFW.
Yeah. Unless you're like, you know, tutoring math on just doing OnlyFans. Like,
yeah.
But when we say OnlyFans, we mean nude or pornographic content, correct?
Say it's on nude, like say it's sexy.
That's NSFW.
Yeah, but like I wonder who had to write these bylaws.
No, it's like a new problem.
Yeah. And I guess it is subject to subjectivity because we're going to have to look at the pics.
And we have a lot of teacher toasters, so sound off in the comments. I imagine when you're a teacher, you're extremely mindful of what you put on social media, whether your account is public or private, knowing that your students could find it.
Yeah, but like what if you go out for like a bachelorette party with the girls,
right,
and you're like taking shots and it's on social media?
I don't know. Because like teachers are humans too.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I feel like teachers have to like behave different on social media because of like the standard that they're held up to because of their job.
Right.
Which makes sense.
Which a lot of people, by the way, like depending on your job.
So true.
Yeah. Like you don't want your work finding this. So you would say like, please don't put that.
So true.
Yeah. But teachers, I just feel like, because I think I remember like I grew up like and in high school, like we all had Facebook and there was like teachers with Facebook pages and we would like find it and they were totally private. But it was like the craziest thing. Like, because it was like our thing. It's like, yeah. Get out of here. And now I imagine it's much more than just like one teacher having a Facebook page.
Yeah.
That's private and we couldn't even see like a photo.
Right, so if you have an influencer, teacher, TikToker.
Right.
I think as long as everything that they're posting is something that the kids could see, like it's totally kosher, then mm-hmm. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story?
Which number is this?
4.
No, I'm not.
She's not ready.
Is it the 4th story that's brought to you by Row and the Row Body Program?
It is.
So Row is a company I'm actually a really big fan of. They provide access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. I've been very open about the fact that I used weight loss shots over the last year to change my life, and I'm a big fan of them. And they can be sometimes like intimidating or hard to find or understand. And Row is a great company. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. Row and the Body Program have support throughout the process, so their partners handle all of the insurance paperwork to help you get your medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. So that means like no scheduling doctor's appointments, no commute to the doctor, no waiting room. And also just like, I think a lot of people are really scared to ask for these types of medications. So doing it online just is really like a fabulous and comfortable. And I think for a lot of people feels really safe. I'm a big, big fan of these weight loss shots and companies like Ro that make it accessible. And if you've been, you know, thinking about it, I really like Ro and I've heard really amazing things. The average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/toast. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/toast, ro.co/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Babbel. The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn the language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel. It's a science-backed language learning app that actually works. Do not pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that really don't help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel is designed for real people having real conversations. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, they're rooted in real life situations, and they're delivered with conversation-based teaching so you are ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I think learning a new language is like probably one of the greatest things you can do as an adult. It's challenging, it's rewarding. And then if you're traveling, you can put it to work. It's also just much, I think, safer to travel to a country where you have like a basic grasp on the language. So starting weeks and months before your trip on Babbel is just like a fun way to get excited for your trip. Also, it's just a great way to be prepared. So here's a special limited time offer for our listeners. Right now, you can get 50% off a one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/toast. That's 50% off Babbel at Babbel, Babbel.com/toast. Rules and restrictions do apply. Make sure to head over to Babbel.com/toast to get that 50% off a one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription.
Our next story, The Bachelor is making news.
The more I hear about this guy,
I love him.
I'm in love. He was hysterical. The one who got Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Gypsy Rose Blanchard confused, which honestly, I'm like, I'm surprised he was the first one to do it.
Yeah.
When I was calling her GRB, when I met her, I almost said RGB. It's RBG.
And now he's being dragged. Again. Joey is his name. He's the new bachelor. He's being dragged for saying that a city built in 5900 BC has, quote, an old school vibe.
And I didn't detect a lie in what he said. They're really trying to paint a picture that he's dumb.
Yeah. So Joey Graziati made another unintentionally hilarious comment. The current bachelor, who mixed up GRB and RBG last week, has now described an ancient European city as having an old school vibe. Viewers were quick to drag the reality star who jetted to Malta during Monday's episode of the ABC dating series.
They went to Malta on The Bachelor? That's crazy. Like, they're getting really kind of creative.
Yeah. Where was the place they never left? Not the Quinta, the other one.
Oh, in Pennsylvania, that
big Nemacolin.
Nemacolin, which really sounds like a procedure in your ass.
Stop.
I can't eat today. I'm that getting a Nemacolin tomorrow.
That hotel looks nice.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Would love to go.
I would love to go. For free. On a sponsored visit.
We're so tacky. Like,
no, there are some places I want to go and I don't want it to be a sponsored visit. I agree. I just want to go. I would love to go there.
On a sponsored visit. It's also the type of place it's really only worth going to on a sponsored visit.
No, and it's also like a piece of like pop culture history. So much Bachelor was filmed there. Like, I would show it, like, I couldn't help but show it off. Other places I want to be a little more private.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I want to go there on a sponsored tour. Visit.
Yeah, on a tourist visa.
On an influencer visa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Joey landed in Malta and said, I'm excited to be in Malta. I can tell why people love to come here. It's absolutely beautiful. It kind of has that old school vibe to it. You can tell there's a lot of culture.
I just feel like when you're on The Bachelor, like, it's a lot of late nights. It's a lot of long days.
It's a lot of voiceovers describing a city.
He probably like filmed this particular like intro to Malta like 60 times. So yeah, by the end, he sounded a little dumb. And I'm just not going to fault him, because at the end of the day, like, yeah, we can make fun of him, but he's not wrong. Like, yeah, I would say that a city built in 5900 BC is giving old school vibes. Yeah, I would say that's true.
Yeah, Malta has been inhabited since 5900 BC and it's home to temples older than both Stonehenge and the pyramids of Giza.
And like, imagine if the people who built those temples knew that in
it was going to be on The Bachelor.
Years, it was going to be on The Bachelor. They're probably so proud of their handiwork. And like, look, we're making fun of this man when we should really be talking about the beautiful Maltese architecture.
We should. That does kind of have an old school vibe.
1000%. It's giving Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
Cheesecake Factory has an old school vibe.
Yeah, that is a factual sentence.
Yes. We're speaking only facts today.
This guy, this season, is getting a lot of good, not, I don't want to say press, but like...
Reception.
I've been seeing like a lot of like funny moments and people just like really like Joey.
He looks like a really like, I think he's like a mama's boy Italian from Staten Island. Like that's the energy I get. I don't know that to be like fact or not, but he seems like so cute and sweet.
Yeah, people are like, he's funny. He makes the show like very enjoyable. Someone said he's so simple. I love him.
Yeah, simple is really a great word.
But I don't know him to call him simple. Like,
no, I'm saying based on what I've seen in Page Six, like RBG, GRB, 5900 BC.
What's also so funny is like, if I were watching The Bachelor and I heard this comment, I don't know that it would have struck me. Like it's like, I'm so glad it was plucked.
Yeah.
That we're analyzing it. But I feel like I might have just carried on. Well, one, if I was even paying attention to the voiceover.
What I do remember of The Bachelor was like, the whole episode was filled with sentences that meant nothing. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know if I would have, you know, received this one in any particular way. I think this sentence is emblematic of all the conversations on The Bachelor. Like, yeah. Dumb.
I think now if we go back and like pick out sentences of things that people said, like all of them could be Fast Five stories ripe for fodder.
It's true.
So why now? Why this sentence? Though I appreciate it because it's funny and it's like harmless.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story? A little more reality TV news.
Okay.
Nick Vial is teaming up with Patty Stanger for a CW matchmaking series.
Okay.
Nick Vial is teaming up with the ultimate matchmaker, Patty Stanger. The pair will work together in the CW's upcoming unscripted series called Patty Stanger, the Matchmaker. Variety has exclusively learned. Vial, who got his start on The Bachelorette and now hosts the Vial Files podcast, is a relationship expert on the series. He will offer his best tips and tricks in dating as the duo tackles their most challenging clients yet.
I feel like they've been trying to get Patty Stanger back on reality TV and like, recreate the magic they had with that series, Millionaire Matchmaker. And honestly, like, I think them bringing Nick Vial is like a smart move, like to, you know, reach a younger audience. And Nick like really kills it. And his podcast is really successful. And I feel like Nick shouldn't have done this. Like Nick is like the new Patty Stanger. Like he doesn't need, Patty needs Nick. Nick doesn't need Patty.
Interesting. But Nick does really well with his podcast and everything, but you don't think like then also doing like a little bit of traditional TV crossover just like helps his portfolio in general?
It doesn't
and
hurt.
And also, I feel like for so long, everyone does advice on their podcast and everyone does dating advice. But I do think that Nick gives very good advice. And that's really been now kind
what
of
what differentiates him.
His niche, in addition to being like kind of the go-to place for reality TV stars, like he's a dating advice expert. That's just like kind of what he's fallen into. And doing a show with Patty Stanger where he is like the sort of...
It solidifies him.
As a relationship expert. And from here on out, like he can do more things positioning himself as a relationship expert.
That's a good way of looking at it. I just look at it being like, this is like, I feel like the third or fourth time we're trying to like recreate the Millionaire Matchmaker. And it's like beating a dead horse at this point.
Yeah, but maybe like this injection of Nick will bring, you know, new audience and make it more modern.
Perhaps.
And for Nick, he's getting his street cred in the matchmaking dating space. Like maybe
that's fair.
He gets his own dating advice show.
Right, that's fair.
So it actually makes sense to me. And I think it was a pretty good call. For everyone involved, yeah. Let's see how it goes.
I'm just like a hater, you know? And like, I'm gonna hate.
Yeah, well, you know I have beef with Patty Stanger, so.
You do?
She doesn't like redheads.
Go on.
If you watch any episode, like she literally won't set them up. She thinks like she does not like redheads.
Did she say that?
Or? Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. No, it's really weird.
Well, I wonder what she thinks of James Hewitt.
Oh yeah. She wouldn't like this episode. A lot of talk about redheads. This episode's very triggering for her. So I'm not feeling like inclined to like defend her or support her show.
So it's just really how you feel.
But taking my own bias out of it. Like I actually think, sure. Yeah. Whatever. I thought she was a good matchmaker. She had like funny stuff, except like her beef with redheads was weird.
Yeah, she's also the type of person who I think a lot of her content like would not age well. Like she was very old school, very tough.
Yeah.
Very traditional.
Yeah.
And
but I think in general, like, we need some of that.
Yes.
Some of the time.
And that type of content, like, is profoundly more interesting than someone being like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to watch that.
I don't want to watch it. I want to watch, like, somebody be insane. And she was great at that.
Yeah.
That show.
Being like Abby Lee.
Oh, my God. Patty Stanger is the Abby Lee of the matchmaking world. That's perfectly put.
Thank you.
Perfection. Like, I don't even want to say another word because
we could end the episode technically.
It was so good. I think we should. What are we going to do for lunch?
Oh my gosh. When I was getting ready this morning, I was going to see if you wanted me to, like, preemptively order wraps.
No. Okay. So Ben made taco meat on Sunday and today's Thursday. Can I still eat it?
I think so.
I'm going to have that for lunch.
I think you know that how you I can. And I made you hard boiled eggs.
I know. That's what I'm going to have. I'm, like, going to run downstairs and eat that.
Okay, great.
So this was our fourth and final episode of the week, which is so devastating, but not really, because we're back tomorrow and Bruno has his health.
Bruno has his health and Bruno has his mommy and he has his auntie and he's surrounded by love, which is really all he needs. Honestly, when he came home yesterday and, like, everyone was sitting on the floor playing with him, the man was in heaven.
We were joking that Bruno, like, did all this overdosed for attention.
Classic Bruno.
That's, like, very Marissa Cooper of him.
Stop. But I've said before, like, I love my muffin, but I know him. Like, he's Tinkerbell. Like, without attention, he will die. That's all he wants in this world.
And, like, we all sat on the floor right outside the front door and, like, we're like, Bruno. And
the way Bruno was like, who, me?
Yeah, right, right.
Stop it.
No, I'm fine, you guys. I was just going through a dark time.
I'm good. I'm good.
So thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast and Lana Morning Show, where we deliver the best five stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast and we're podcasting. We found it's Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Public Radio, everybody gets welcome to the places we listen to podcasts. Fantastic Toast, if you five stars, we better be for sending a weekly down. Did we are.
Without further ado, we bid you adieu. Love ya. Bye.